Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, we are back, and if you would like to see us live on stage, this show, the One Show, live on stage with video clips and special guests and swearing, then do please come Friday, the 16th of September at the London Podcast Festival, the One Show, live on stage 2022. If you go to kingsplace.co.uk, you will find how to get tickets. The One Show, live Friday, 16th of September, 2022.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show!
Hello, welcome friends, welcome, it's been a while, but we are finally back, which is an incredibly fashionable thing to be at the moment. See also the Cold War, the threat of nuclear annihilation, polio, worker strikes, and oh, a COVID wave due to a new variant. Of course, one thing that would survive all these things, including even a Putin-instigated nuclear fire, is, of course, the televisual insect that is The One Show, scuttling onto your screen at 7 p.m. each weekday and persisting, despite everyone's best attempts, to kill it with a shoe. I am John Holmes. This is The One Show, and if it's shoes, or rather shoe, that you want, then rest assured that The One Show this week is the gift that keeps on giving, as long as the gift in question that you want to keep on giving is a shoe. Singular. Oh, yes. The One Show films are quality as ever. Nothing has changed since we've been away. More of this anon. Also this week, then, Jason Donovan fails to understand anything. Drive across my baby's nappies and what's on your badges. So this is the podcast that takes a deep dive into TV's shallowest show. And don't worry, it's specially designed to appeal to anyone who thinks The One Show is shit. And uniquely, you don't have to watch The One Show to enjoy this podcast. In fact, it's better if you don't. We do it for you. So taking that inevitable bullet made of green sofas and desperation to fill airtime this week are, of course, The One Show co-presenter Mark Haynes and our guest this week from the award-winning Cold Case Crime Cuts podcast. He is Mason Lane. It's Lance Fuller. Welcome, everyone. Hey. Welcome. Welcome indeed. Here we are back. Back, Mark.
Once again, like the renegade master.
I've wanted to be back for ages.
Well, you join us for the first time, Lance. And I suppose the question that we inevitably do have to ask is, we should clear up, right? You're one of those American people that there are in the world, but you live here in the UK. Uh-huh. So are you familiar with The One Show? Had you ever watched it before we made you do so?
No, I never watched it. I'd heard of it. And I have to say, that theme song is like daggers to the brain. It just keeps driving in and in. Like, it is... It's American level irritating.
Yeah.
How did you find the return, John? Has it changed much in our absence, do you think?
Well, that was the weird thing, you see, because Lance, we Mark and I are steeped in the lore, L-O-R-E, of yeah. the One Show, and we've had a slightly more than six month break on it, right? And because other stuff we've been doing. And so I came back, and you know, you occasionally you see in the press where a thing has happened on the One Show, but far more regularly, Mark, and you get this, we get added into Twitter things of people going, oh my God, at the One Show. Yeah. You know, did you see that? You should talk about that.
Particularly sort of bad moments, or you get the One Show seems to make the headlines nowadays for when the guests misbehave. And so there was an actor, was it Toby Stevens? I can't remember who it was,
Dan Stevens,
who did a reference to Boris Johnson that they didn't want there.
The series you're doing, what's the take then on it?
Well, what you've got is a criminal for a leader who is, you know, wrapped in a messy war, embroiled in a stupid scandal and surrounded by ambitious idiots, and really should resign. And no, I'm sorry, that's the intro to Boris Johnson. I've just said the intro to Boris Johnson. I'm so sorry.
I don't know if I've changed in my opinion towards the One Show, but I find it an object of great pity now rather than hatred.
Oh, yeah.
And watching Dan Stevens do that and sort of taking advantage of the One Show, because they're so soft and rubbish and inept at making television, I felt that going there with a sort of stunt was actually a bit cruel. It was a room full of people who wouldn't have known how to deal with that. Certainly wouldn't have been able to do anything off the back of it. Wouldn't have been able to stop it and make it, you know, change direction, other than with a big handbrake, which is just going, pretend it didn't happen. But since we've come back watching this, I have never felt more like the One Show will not be on television in a year's time.
Really?
It felt to me
undermining
like
my
they
entire
have
introduction, but
it feels to me like they are lit. I mean, it didn't seem like they bothered before. They did bother. They just did it badly. It seems to me now they've just given up.
Oh.
This was an hour of the worst TV that I have ever seen. I think I watched slightly different shows for you. I watched Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay, I did Tuesday, Wednesday. Right, fine.
Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Well, that's good.
Now, Thursday's show is among the worst half hours of television that you will ever see. And I blame us for this, John, because when we were here, they were at least someone is watching who isn't in a care home. And there is a slight bit where they go, wouldn't it be good if we could do something that they wouldn't just coat us down over, right? That they might go, that was okay. We've been off for 6 months, and in 6 months, this place has gone to the dogs. The absolute pits of television.
Do you think we were basically the One Show police? We were keeping them on a certain track.
They could.
We've got to at least hit this low bar.
Well, they had evidence one person was watching.
They could turn round to the BBC, and the BBC would say, I think it's time for this to end. And they'd go, you do realise we've got fan podcasts about the show. And the BBC will go, oh, interesting. Well, with us not being there, I mean, it is just like they've gone, we just might as well sit out for 6 months until John Holmes's nasty show is back, and then we'll start working again. We didn't give any advance warning. We basically caught them snoozing. The Wednesday and the Thursday shows, John, honestly, if I had a big tome of the history of television, I would be turning to the page that said the single worst two consecutive shows in TV history.
Wow.
And I would be writing down the One Show.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's start on the Wednesday, because that's the Venn diagram we've all connected through, right? So, Lance, let's start with you, right? You sat down, you watched Wednesday's One Show. It had Alex, you know, Alex Jones. It had Jermaine Janus, didn't it?
Yeah.
From the football. And he fucked up his first link really quickly, 17 seconds in, including the theme music.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to your Wednesday One Show, live on BBC Two, and iPlayer, with Alex Jones.
What did you make of that, Lance?
It speaks to the level of professionalism surrounding a live show that they can't have people who can speak clearly. Although, I mean, I know we're talking about Wednesdays, but like, what a change from Rylan the day before, and I don't want to get into that before we get there.
we'll get there. Yeah.
Because you know, this is my kind of first experience with Alex Jones as well. And I don't think she's very good at hiding her disdain for people. Like, you know, she's not that good at... So the day before, you could just see she was like creeping away. And I think she seemed more, I don't know, at least comfortable today.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think Ryland's a bit of a wild card, isn't he? We'll talk about Ryland. I mean, I've got history with Ryland. Mark, on this podcast, right? The problem I have with Ryland...
Yeah.
Ryland was presenting, and I've long lamented... the idea of anything that's like a Rylan on the television.
You don't like the teeth. You don't like the noise. You don't like the fact that everybody loves Rylan.
I don't like any of those things, right? So I've had a bit of an issue with him. But in the time we've been away, Mark, my opinion has changed, and I'll tell you for why. Right?
Are you going out? Oh my God, this is hilarious.
Well, now I met Rylan, and he was hosting the Radio Academy Awards. Mm. There was a little bit of banter, Mark, I'll be honest, on the stage when I went up to get the award.
Yeah.
And after that, he dropped into my DMs, Mark.
No. Is this
he said he was going to do that.
Yeah.
Is this like a sort of like Daily Mirror splash? Is it going to be? I would love it if the punchline to this story is it was just filth, a torrent of filth.
No, it wasn't. I'm going to read it
because
to you. I'm going to read it to you.
During the show as well, he made some sort of, you know, a side joke about a handsome man who'd got on stage about how he was going to stalk him on Instagram. And we all kind of went, oh. I didn't know he was talking about John, though, which doesn't mean I don't
you
think
you can tell
him.
That Rylan hasn't worked in the radio industry as long as we have, where you can still make jokes about stalking people and you don't go, yeah, too soon. Yeah, too soon. Yeah.
He did. He dropped into my DMs and he went, this was at, I don't know, later that evening, maybe. I don't know. He just went, this is the message that came in, right? Just went, 2022 ain't bad. Well done, man.
Whoa.
That was his in. Yeah. And I was like, hey, thanks,
Ryan. And you absolutely love him now, and he can do no wrong. Is that what I'm hearing?
He's one of my best friends. I'm doing a Radio 2 show later in the year. I've already invited him on. So, you know, we are back. So I will not hear a word against him, Mark. You shut your mouth.
So was he good on Tuesday? Did he bring a sense of life that the rest of the week lacked?
I'm BBC One, and I play with the one and only Rylan. Look, he's back.
So
welcome.
Nice to be back. How are
it's
you?
Lovely to see you.
It's lovely good. To be back. It really, really is. Alex Jones is here as well. And as Andy Murray said at Wimbledon, I will say it again, it's amazing to be back.
Nice.
Wimbledon's
nice
on.
Link.
It's all going on.
Very good.
I'm just trying to get in with it.
Well, I liked him more when he presented the Radio Academy Awards, and you know, because I don't know whether television constrains him a bit,
I think,
and
so
he can't go off on those flights of fancy. Yeah. What did you make of him, Lance?
But what he did was bring a bit of, like, you know, a self. He could take the piss of the format of everyone a bit more.
Yeah.
So it was a little less self-serious than the following day.
Yeah.
With. What's his name?
Well, Jermaine Jenas always makes it feel like there's someone has been given basically community service, and part of the community service is they have to present the one show. It seems to be begrudged. He has no natural aptitude for it. I want to know the process by which he passed that audition to do this show, because what other show is going to be able to kick off with a long-term presenter who cannot even say the title of the show correctly? That doesn't seem like a huge bar to be able to clear. To be able to say, welcome to your Wednesday One show. That seems to me like, you know, if you can't say that, you can't be doing Wednesday's One show.
It's literally page one of the script. I mean, in every single
I was astonished. Yeah. I don't know if this is the same with Tuesday, but have they had the big set revamp?
Oh, by which you mean...
They've got rid of the iconic sofas that previously were just in, you know, part of Broadcasting House. And they've got like video screens behind the sofas now, where squares continually float from the bottom to the top. There's something really great about it, which is if you watch them and just imagine that they're guests' farts, right? Just coming up constantly. And occasionally you'll get a big one comes up. It's really satisfying. It makes every interview 30% funnier.
I'm going to go back and rewatch.
I liked, though, I must admit, on Wednesdays, I was... it was, and again, still new to, you know, coming back to it. I, for the first time that I remember, I was drawn in by the tease of a film.
Oh, yeah.
Which said, a woman has created a shoe shop. Now, with a twist.
To tonight, we'll be introducing you to a woman called Jo, who's created a shoe shop with a twist. It only stocks single shoes. Find out why.
And I was like, what? What's this? This is
going
to be.
But I would say, from that feed, I was like, well, what can the twist be? And I was like, well, it's either she's selling three shoes or it's one shoe. And I thought, it's going to be one shoe, isn't it? It's going to be one shoe.
For the one shoe.
No, no, one shoe.
No.
Shoe. No one made that joke in the whole of the thing. No one said, I guess you could say it's an excellent episode of the one shoe.
Of the one shoe. Amazing. I know. And I was screaming it at the television through the whole episode.
That was a one of those pieces that they sold going, wait till you hear this wacky, wacky business plan. And the wacky business plan was it was an excellent service for amputees. as the one show put it, as Jermaine's voiceover put it, for people with complicated footwear needs.
Joe O'Callaghan's home in Kent is filled to the brim with footwear.
This is actually my conservatory, but it's been taken over with shoes, as you can see.
Most of these, though, are not in pairs. She runs a group called Joe's Odd Shoes, where people who only need one shoe can browse and request shoes that are available in either left or right. She started the group when a condition in her right foot caused painful swelling, leading to an amputation.
And it meant that I could only wear a shoe on my left foot. I had all these right shoes in the bottom of my wardrobe, so I wanted to find a new home for them.
The group allows people with complicated footwear needs to send in their own spare shoes and find new ones that
needing,
work for them.
Needing one shoe is less complicated than needing two by a factor of about 50%,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't really say, they were like, this is, I was like, this must have been done before as well. This can't be the first time this has been done. But then I was thinking, but maybe if you've got one leg, it's like you always see when you're driving along the motorway, loads of single shoes. And I was like, is this like someone, rather than it just being weird that one shoe is always thrown out of a car, I was like, is this some kind of altruistic thing where if you've got one shoe, you just throw it on the motorway and then amputees will gather at night and it's like a giant free shoe bazaar.
That's the film right there. Okay. Wow.
Man, one of the ladies who only needed one shoe, she said, it's crazy. You go and pay full price for a pair of shoes and you only use one.
It's crazy. You go into shop and have to pay full price for a pair of shoes. You don't wear one.
I mean, it's not crazy. That's the way it's always worked.
I'm not following.
Yeah.
If you've got one hand, you can't say it's mad that they always sell gloves in pairs.
Yeah, but this could open up a market for exactly that, couldn't it? If you're a hand putee, which is what, by the way, I think they call them.
Okay.
Then why not? What if it's shoes? Why not? Why not gloves? Why not? One leg of a trouser.
Because it's already being handled on the side of the motorway, John. That's where all the single items go.
We don't need these little silly clubs over Facebook when we can treat the nation's amputees with dignity by simply lobbing shoes into disused edgelands for them to scurry and scamper over like rats.
I did appreciate, too, that at the end of the segment, that doing that thing that hosts often feel like they have to fill with something. He's like, I'm gonna buy a pair of shoes now. And, you know, I was like, what? And get rid of one?
Another great idea.
Isn't it?
Brilliant tonight, yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I got plenty of trainers as well. I might have to donate a couple.
Seriously,
You see them on air most weeks, so... Yeah. Have to send a parent.
Get them over to Joe.
You should do,
Well,
Jermaine Janice did say, I'm going to give a load of my shoes to that.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a load of my shoes. And, I mean, it's easy to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
But actually, if you're going to say it on the BBC, I think there are basically a sort of, you do have to live up to those promises that you make on the BBC. Otherwise, you're a liar. So I would like a bit more proof that Jermaine Janice has given a load of his shoes to this lady.
Was it Was it Joe, the name of the lady who was running this one shoe company? As a service to amputees, I'd like her to get in touch with this podcast and tell us whether or not Jermaine Janus has sent his shoes to her service.
He was very much yakking along like a big man, wasn't he? Yeah. And it would be a shame if it was just empty words from
did you notice
from a duplicitous shit.
And after he'd been that duplicitous shit, did you notice the link that Alex had to do? So they were also talking about the Great British Sewing Bee.
Yeah.
Right, and the fact that the final was on BBC All Night, and out of a film about amputees, she went, well, after 9 weeks of cutting and stitching.
Well, after 9 weeks of cutting and stitching, the Great British Sewing Bee final is finally in.
Man. By the way, if you've not seen it, John, can I just say it's an absolute fucking disgrace, because I watched The Great Sewing Bee thinking I was going to see a huge sewing bee, right? And it's just ordinary people, right? It shouldn't be allowed.
Isn't there a standards agency for this?
There needs
to
be.
If there was a standards agency, Lance, the one show wouldn't have made it past the idea stage.
No, fair.
This was a terrible interview that they did with the two people from the Sewing Bee as well. Last year's winner, because obviously they didn't want to rumble who this year's winner was. But, I mean, it's one of those shows that I think people watch but aren't that keen on talking about. And it was a very uncharismatic, low energy interview that if anything made me want to see it less than I had before, which was already quite low.
Lance, have you? I don't know. I mean, I also have never watched the Sewing Bee program,
right?
So, Matt, Lance, what did you make of the winner and a man I've never heard of who's a judge?
Well, I don't know. It was fine, but it's also in line of all the things now where they're like, well, the Bake Off did so well. What else can we cram into an hour and make people do on TV? Mm. And you know,
you're right. It's like they're just going through. There's a pottery one as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
Great British Throwdown or something?
Yeah.
It sounds like one of your wrestling things, Mark. I don't know.
Pottery Throwdown is one of the great promoters.
But yeah, it's only a matter of time before we get to hair coursing and badger baiting, all those great British traditions.
Badger baiting.
Vaccine refusing.
I mean, that would be a great show to watch. The Great British Vaccine Refusal. And it just being a load of people trying to keep their jobs while also refusing the vaccine. And whoever manages to get to week 16, wonderful. I would watch that in a heartbeat.
There was a really weird bit in the shoe. I mean, I don't know why I'm singling. There were a lot of weird bits in the shoe film. But it was where Joe, whose shoe project this was. So, well, one of my regulars, my regular amputee correspondent, is Sandra. So what I've done, I've bought and how lucky that Sandra's limb that she's got is the opposite to the limb I've got. So when I buy shoes, I send the other one to Sandra. That's great. And she said, and it's also, we both share a fashion sense.
Packaging up one of her own spare trainers for group member Sandra, who shares the same size and taste in footwear.
That's good. And then you watch the sort of packaging the spare shoe up to send to Sandra. Next thing, Sandra, and they're sort of, you know, posting it, whatever. And the next thing, Sandra's unwrapping it, and the film crew are in Sandra's house watching her unwrap it. You're going, surely the film crew could have taken it with them to Sandra's house. Did that not
and send the right one off to whoever needs it. It's lovely knowing that this is going to someone I know.
Joe spends every moment working on the club and catches up with members from time to time.
What do you get out of the group? Obviously shoes, but
talking to like-minded people.
Sandra was one of my favourites because she had lines that really made me laugh, and she said, I'm so glad we've got odd feet each, Joe.
It's amazing. I'm so glad that we've got odd feet each, Joe.
I'm so glad. She said, oh, this has really lifted my spirits. I've had a bad day today.
I know. You wanted to, like, what was the bad day?
Yeah.
That this is fixing.
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
It's really lifted my spirits. I've had a bit of a bad day today, and thank you so, so much.
Anything to make you smile.
Bye. to know that you can just get a shoe if you want.
And there was
it.
Something about this the one show's refusal to sort of go, oh, you know, tell us about it. You know, what's it like? Just concentrate on the shoe. Just concentrate on the shoe. I do quickly just want to tell you about Thursday's show, John, because there was a classic piece of inept editing that made a bad piece worse. That was magic. So they've been doing one big thank you, which has taken the nation by not storm. And they did this one. It was a Ronan Keating concert in Liverpool in the Philharmonic Hall. And he was going to single out a local lady who had set up a food bank. Okay. Now, what had happened with this that was so magic is they'd left everything in that made it clear the woman was not a Ronan Keating fan.
I'd like to throw spotlight on somebody in particular in the audience tonight. Yes, somebody very important. Is there a Catherine Bowman in the audience?
So she's brought up onto stage by Ronan Keating. And on she comes, and Ronan then says,
how did you come to be here tonight?
And she said,
apparently my husband won some tickets on Radio Merseyside that he doesn't even listen to.
She says, he goes, oh, okay, can we have a hug? And she kind of goes, and they have a hug. Then she says, he says, and I heard you're not even much of a fan.
Okay, so bet you're not really a fan.
And she went, oh my God, who told you that?
Oh my days, who told you that?
Like that, on stage, okay? Now they left that in. They could have taken it out and we'd have all thought she was a fan and it made sense. What they then say is Alex's voiceover goes, Catherine is finding it hard to take in.
Catherine is finding it hard to take in.
And she's just sitting at the side of the stage, looking really uncomfortable, not enjoying it. She's taken backstage and Ronan says, so how are you feeling? And she goes, a bit weird, to be fair.
How are you feeling?
A bit weird, to be fair.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, that's good.
It's okay. Well,
there's no need to leave in the bits where she goes, I don't really like you. How are you feeling? Not great. I don't like this at all. Take those bits out. We don't need to be there.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Wednesday's show was so bad. Thursday's was worse.
It was like amazing. It dribbled through because I thought Tuesday's, weirdly, I don't know what you thought, Lance, but I thought Tuesday's was... and that was my toe back into this particularly murky, early evening water. Yeah. And, you know, when it was Rylan, my heart sank at first, but then I went, oh, no, he DMs, he sects me. So that's
right.
Just for legal reasons, I'm going to say he doesn't.
What do they say? Drop your knickers for a compliment, John?
And it was, the potential was there because it was Harry Hill and Jason Donovan.
He's the ageless star of stage and screen. And for years, he's been chased around by fans all over the world.
He has.
Literally.
Yeah. He has. Wow. And the other, well, he's been chased to around the car park by an angry heckler. Please welcome Jason Donovan and Harry Hill.
Yeah. There you go. Oh, that's not a bad... I could see this working as guests. That's okay, Harry Hill. But then it quickly became clear that Jason Donovan was not on... I think his dabbles with drugs are well documented, but it was like they'd almost maybe affected him in some way. There was a real gap of, you know, Harry Hill was making...
There was no there there.
Yeah. Did you see that bit when he went, when Harry Hill, they were talking about Neighbours. Of course they were talking about Neighbours.
Right.
And it's coming to an end, right? And Harry Hill, they were talking about, and then Harry Hill just, a little quip, just went, well, of course, Neighbours was the first time we in Britain had ever seen Australia.
I mean, people forget that with Neighbours, you know, for many people, it's the first time we'd seen Australian people on TV. You know, we just heard about them.
Right. And everyone laughed. Jason Donovan, who went no, that can't be right. No, because there was Paul Hogan.
Well, the Sullivans, you know, Paul Hogan, Crocodile Dundee. Look, I think
that's also where Australian history starts, is 1986 Crocodile Dundee 2. Before then, no Australians. Invented solely by Hollywood for
it
that
was
movie.
Just so odd.
Jason Donovan realized he knew some Australians and had to tell everyone about them. I mean, so that was also like an interesting aspect to me, which was, I don't know Harry Hill, but the format of the show, what with four people in the crew or something, meant that every single one of his jokes just died.
Yeah.
Died.
I'm sure.
We know what your shows are like. They're quite bonkers, Harry. So what we expected apart from Sarah's Baby Elephant?
That's not enough. Like, that's not enough. I've got some interactive video where I point out the differences between Trey Bakes and Tears and Shares. You know, the... Hello, is this mic on? I've got my son, Gary.
He wasn't the only one, because Ryland tried to make, my good friend Ryland, he tried to make a joke as well about Andrew Lloyd Webber, because they were talking about Jason Donovan appearing at the Jubilee.
Yeah.
The Queen's Jubilee on the stage wearing his coat. And they were sort of saying he's wearing the coat of many colours from Joseph. And it was raining and he was going, yeah, it's made of wool and it shrinks. And they were having this sort of chat about that, about being backstage and everything else. And then Harry just sort of said, well, you know, that must have been great, Jason, backstage. You being backstage, you know, rubbing shoulders with big stars. And then he had to sort of correct himself and go, oh, not that you're not a big star.
Harry's things are good hanging around on the day, aren't they?
Yeah.
You're rubbing shoulders with all these big stars. Well, not that you're not a big star.
And then Jason Donovan made a really weird noise that went a bit like this. It's like Jason Donovan got...
Why I oughta punch you up the bracket.
He got stuck and broke down. It was a strange moment. But then Ryland tried to join in and be Ryland, said, Jason Donovan said, oh, and I did it because Andrew Lloyd Webber phoned me up and asked me. And Ryland said, oh, Andrew Lloyd Webber called me once, said he owed him a tenner.
You know, I got a phone call from Lloyd Webber and out of the blue saying, you know, would you do this thing, the Jubilee? And I didn't think too much about it. And there we were.
See, that's the difference between me and you. I got a phone call from him and he said I owed him a tenner.
No response, really. Jason Donovan went, really?
Really?
Yeah.
I was like, don't worry about it. I just hung up. I thought he was asking me to perform, but no, apparently I owe him a tenner.
It's only a matter of time.
There is something awful, though, in Ryland's position where you sort of go, I was going towards a joke. It's got the sound and rhythm of a joke, but it doesn't actually make sense. And then the last thing you need when that happens is for someone to go, sorry, can you just stop? Explain what you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, it was... and then Alex, of course, had to apologise.
And I have to say, at the beginning, I said, we're live on BBC One. We're not.
Oh, we're not?
It's me, that's Matt, not you. We're on BBC Two.
It's BBC Two.
Do
you know why?
Dennis.
That one.
So
that
she had
one.
To stop and correct her and apologise. The world we live in now is where a woman has to apologise on television just for saying the wrong channel in case someone's offended by it.
I would be offended by it. I would be deeply offended by it. I will be writing to the Director General. I will not have the BBC mislead with fake news, John. If that's what they're... If they're lying about it being BBC One or BBC Two, then just think of all the lies they're making about that nice Mr. Farage. It's disgusting. Did you enjoy Matt Allwright coming back to kick off Wednesday's show with a bang, skulking onto the set like when you catch a builder coming out of one of the bedrooms that they're not supposed to be in?
We are starting tonight with Watchdog. Now, Matt, tell us, holidays are coming, right?
It's a very good question, Alex. Yeah, but things are still unpredictable. So it's never been more important to make sure you are covered by your insurance. We'll make sure you are. Also tonight, if you want to get away from your energy supplier, who's put up their early exit penalties the most? Yes, it's the cost of leaving crisis.
Yeah. Thank you. Such a shifty look about him. And he was tackling the fuel crisis, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was.
In the Ace Cafe, I noticed, I mean, I know one thing about Matt Allwright, and that's he's a biker, isn't he?
Yeah.
And the Ace Cafe is a really good sort of biker's, it's a caf, really, down on the motorway near Ealing. And I really thought to myself, he wanted to go there. So he's like, well, I know a place that'd be good to talk to the AA man at, the Ace Cafe, the place where I always want to go.
I did think for a moment,
we got a little bit of Matt Allwright coming out, the real Matt Allwright. And I didn't care either way.
Are you familiar with the work of Matt Allwright, Lance? Because,
at all. I wondered. I mean, he just looked, he looked like some football fan who had wandered off the pitch, and was already pissed and was like, I can talk about petrol, because he's not, not very well put together. And look at this, he's this guy. Why are we asking him questions?
It's one of those misfits characters you get in that game.
Yeah. I was very confused as to why this was the zone of inclusion for the petrol price range was around Wembley and Ely.
It's that slight sort of, because it's motorcycles, it's all petrol heads. They had the head of the AA, the Automobile Association. I put that in especially for Lance because he's American. Right. And I thought Automobile Association might help him. I'm not sure it will.
Because it's AAA for us. And of course, AA is Alcoholics Anonymous.
Bloody Americans always have to go one bigger, don't you?
Yes.
Always.
that chap, Edmund King, who is the president of the AA, he came in and he had a line that had obviously someone had said in the office and they'd really, really run with it, which they were talking about the spiraling prices of petrol. And he said the prices at the pump are really like pump fiction.
So we asked Edmund King, president of the AA, why there is such a discrepancy between retailers.
Well, at the moment, the prices at the pumps really are like pump fiction.
He said, right? what he was getting at was he was saying that the actual wholesale price of gas and oil and petrol are right down, but those savings are not being passed on to the consumer and petrol prices remain sky high.
Yeah.
Instead of it being a pump fiction, I have a slightly better one that I've workshopped for him, which is everybody who works in the petrol industry is a petrol cunt. So I think he can use that one next time he does one of his interviews. I thought it would work. What the big problem with this little section was, as boring as it was, get me wrong, I mean, it was the worst presentation of something already boring that we've heard a million times. The interesting thing about it is they could not criticize the government on this, and so Matt Allwright's bit was entirely sort of apolitical. And then it did go back to the studio, and they'd worked out a back and forth between Matt and Alex, where basically Alex could say along the lines of, Matt would say, I mean, some people have said the government should step in, and Alex then said, yes, but didn't they have a percent rebate. It's 6 months, and it's like Alex did not know that off the top of her head.
Now, the Petrol Retailers Association is telling us that the government should follow other European countries by introducing further cuts to fuel duty and VAT.
But hang on a sec,
yes.
Because last March, didn't they cut the duty then? Was it the duty?
Yeah, yes. It was the duty.
But nobody really noticed,
yeah,
did we?
It was 5 pence.
So how is it going to work this time?
It's a very, very good question, Alex. The CMA...
So they'd given them lines so they could go back and forth and remain entirely apolitical.
Yeah.
And the problem is, if you do remain entirely apolitical in things like this, you never get to the solution, which is government should step in and say to these people,
right,
no, you can't do that. You know,
yeah.
And instead, what you get is a thing where everyone sort of goes, "Well, I guess there's no solving that one."
Yeah. What we needed was Dan Stevens to pop back again and just give it both barrels.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, thankfully, you know, with the next thing, I think we can all agree: disposable nappies.
Unbelievable segment.
Yeah.
Disposable nappies might be convenient, but they create a lot of waste. Nearly 8 million are thrown away every single day in the UK. Now, unlike other household items, they are very difficult to recycle, so most of them end up going into landfill or for incineration. But it turns out that there could be a solution. A small company in Wales is leading the way in transforming smelly old nappies into something much more useful and surprising. Roads.
My point on this, John and Lance, not everything can be recycled. Not everything can be made into a jacket or a hat or pot plant. Some things just have to go in landfill, right? We can't get to zero landfill. This celebration of an absolutely pathetic amount of stuff being turned into something boring was among the worst things I've ever seen on television.
You've just described the one show.
Oh. Right. If you pulp shit and then pile it through, you know, a bunch of machines and spit something out, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
So what we're driving on, it turns out, this has not rolled out over the entire country. It is only on one road in Wales.
Yeah, in 250 metres of road. Yeah,
that's right.
They were trying so hard to sell it as a big thing.
Weren't they?
Half a street.
And just to do that, they were saying you need 10 tonnes of shitty nappies.
You do, yeah. And all the water, the renewable water to just sluice out all this shit with this polio thing on the increase. So that we could put a little bit of ballast into a road. They were
tarmac made of shitty nappies. That was the gist of it.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Rob Poyer came up with the idea, and it's taken him 12 years to develop a recycling process.
It's hard to think of a product that is less useful than a used disposable nappy, but you don't really see it like that, do you?
No.
Rob's plant processes 40 million nappies a year. As soon as they come in, they're shredded and the organic material is taken out.
They made a big thing about how much of this was being done, and they gave you so many numbers. And what they didn't expect was people to write those numbers down and then analyse them a week later, John. So disposable nappies, very difficult to recycle. 240 million go into landfill every month. When they went to this plant that is doing all this reprocessing of them, they mentioned they process 40 million a year. So that's 40 million a year of the 240 million a month that are used. So that is less than a week's worth of nappies. So a 152th of all the nappies are being recycled for road use. Why are we even talking about this? Again, if you went, how do we solve this problem? You go, tell the nappy makers they've got to be biodegradable. Yeah. Done. Yeah. Done. Let's not faff around with 152th of the nappies being made into road ballast. Why is everybody listening to this show?
All of that was going on, and you know, you listened to the figures, and that's fine. All I saw was the presenter lady, right, holding up pellets of shit that had gone through the process and just sniffing them to see if the road smelled of baby's shit. That's just going, I'm just sniffing it.
So you'd never actually think that was originally nappies.
You would not. I'm going to do the sniff test. I'm relieved to say it does not smell of nappies at all.
which it didn't. Of course, she's, oh, it doesn't smell like shit. Well, good. Process has worked. But they also had her in that facility about, what, 20 feet from an enormous pile of shitty nappies. And I was like, it must be awful in there.
That must be the worst place to work in the world, where it's a load of nappies coming in to be mixed with hot water and chopped up at the same time. The end result of this must be really important. No. No, the only thing I really liked about watching the bit on the road is if you looked in the background, you could see 9 single shoes.
And there we bring the hammer down on the skull of part one of this week's podcast. Pop the kettle on, sit back, contemplate cancelling your TV licence fee, and we'll see you back here tomorrow for part two of the return of the One Show Show.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets, featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea's sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.